That's the same. Now let's start with I bless your name. Jesus, James, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Saul, let's pray that night, and in their pain began to sing, the chains were loose, and they said, I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. Out and praise, defy those chains, and they will fall in Jesus' name. I bless your name. I bless your name.
My consecration, and I. I know. Thank you, Brother Jesse. That was wonderful. We do appreciate the song worship. May the Lord richly bless you. God bless each and every one this evening. We're glad to come to gather together, though virtually, in these kind of times. You know, we should really have sung that song maybe at the end. Time is filled with swift transition. Naught on earth unmoved can stand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Now, the prophet, when he gives his life story, he uses that scripture. Here we have no continuing city. And I'm sure in these kind of times, it becomes more and more real. Things that we thought were sure and steadfast and unchangeable. You know, nations and governments and our futures and so forth. But you find things can change just so very quickly. And there's people we know now, we'd like to really pray for them this evening. Saints across in Ukraine and saints across in those places where all of a sudden, life has taken a very big tumble. Things have changed so very, very much. And as the prophet says, here we have no continuing city. He went out to his old house and there was the big tree, the oak tree, he thought, or the poplar tree that he thought was going to live for 1,000 years. And he went in and cut down. It was nothing but a stump. And he said he used to look at his dad when he was shaving, and his dad was so big and muscular and strong. And he thought, my dad will live to be 100 years old. And he died just over the age of 50. You know, so this life we're living in, time is filled with great transition, such a transition. There's nothing on this earth unmoved can stand. And that's why the song says we need to hold to God's unchanging hand. Let's bow our heads for prayer before we open the word. Lord Jesus, how we thank you that we can come in these kind of times to look to you, to look to your word. Father, to come once again to your footstool, to come into your presence, Lord, to come to the secret place and hide ourselves away with you. Father and Lord, how we desire, even as Abraham came in his day, when the judgments of God were in the earth, and Lord, you drew near and he drew near to you. And Father, you told him of things that were to be, and you quickened him unto prayer, and he prayed for Lot, and he prayed for the people that were in trouble, Lord. And Father, you hearken unto his prayer. Lord, we look unto thee upon this night, that you would help us as well, that you'd minister each and every one of us to that place in this prayer meeting, that you would help us indeed, O Lord. Father, I do pray, thanking you for the song worship. Bless Brother Jesse, Lord. Father, each person that's tuned in upon this evening, may your blessing be upon every house. And Lord, your special blessing upon us now as we read your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. If you could be standing, if you can, let's read a scripture, get a small thought, and then we'll come and bring our petitions, our thanksgivings for the church before the Lord. Then we'll take the word once again, and then we'll come to our final time of prayer. And you'll see we're trying to focus on something this evening. Let's open Psalm 46. In these kind of times, it's wonderful to go back to these kind of scriptures. Psalm 46. Let's read the first three verses of Psalm 46. Just give you a chance to turn there. Psalm 46 from verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. So David's telling us Selah is like amen. It's pause, think about this, meditate on this. So David is telling us in the midst of all that is unfolding, take time to think about what I'm saying. May the Lord bless his word, saints. You may be seated. Let's just have a look at this thought about God being our refuge and our strength. It's a wonderful scripture, a very present help in time of trouble. This was the scripture that came to the prophet in Hurricane Mountain when he was lost. You know, when he got himself lost and the fog came down and he would have perished and his family would have perished. And the Lord spoke this scripture to him. I'm a very present help in a time of trouble. And it's God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. The thing I love about the word is the way the Lord puts it, so you can put your name there. And he says, God is our refuge and strength. It's fine for David to say, God is my refuge. That's good. And it's okay. Maybe the Lord was just a refuge for David, but that's not what it says. It says, God is our refuge and our strength. And every single one of us can put our name there. Yeah, when he continues on the same thing, he says, God is our refuge and our strength. He doesn't say God was our refuge or our strength. God will be our refuge and our strength. David is speaking about our current circumstances now. Whatever we're going through, whatever upheavals in life, whatever bad news that we get, whenever things take a tumble, like we say, whenever there comes the path of life descends into a valley that you never expected to be in. We have our brother Pele in hospital still, and life took a tumble. His health, a crisis came, but God is our refuge and our strength. Tonight, God is his refuge and strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. And it would be a wonderful thing if each and every one of us could see our inheritance there. That this is not just for certain people, but this is the word of God. This is to every one of the sons and daughters of God. Is that no matter the circumstances, no matter the time, no matter what generation you live, no matter which country, no matter whatever it is that's taking place, this scripture is always going to be true, that God will always be your refuge and your strength. It's just as real, God's word, like the prophet says, as when David wrote those words 3,000 years ago. God was a refuge and a strength to David. David went through troubles. Life took unexpected turns in the life of David. Everything was going well. He was having his peaceful time. He slays Goliath. Everything seems to be, everything's going his way. And then all of a sudden life takes a turn. And it's in those kind of times. The scripture says he's an ever-present help in the time of trouble. The time that we really find out that he is a refuge and a strength, that he is a high fortress, a mighty tower, is in the hard times of life. Like the song says, it was when the sails of the ship were battered. The song that we sing, and it says, it was in those times during the storms that God proved his love to me. And friends, when everything else changes, when you realize that the future that you had set is now uncertain, and when you thought this was sure, this was steadfast, and you find the foundations are shaken in whatever aspect of life that it may be, thinking of the saints across in Ukraine at this time, just how suddenly in a week, 2 weeks, wow, just how much things have changed, how much their futures are now uncertain. Things which they were planning for months ahead no longer apply to them. They're wondering about where they're going to go, where they're going to get food, where they're going to live. That is what life can do, friends. But the wonderful thing about it is, no matter what the circumstances are, to the saints that are there now in Donetsk, they're in the east of Ukraine now where there's trouble and they're struggling to find water and all of the trouble, the saints in Kiev that are in their bunkers, in their basements tonight as we speak and being surrounded by an enemy force. The wonderful thing about it is God is their refuge and their strength. He will be an ever-present help to them in the time of trouble, exactly the same way that he was to David in his time of trouble, exactly the same way that he is to you and I in our time of trouble. He's an ever-present help in a time of trouble. Now, it says there that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Yeah, it's really interesting how the Lord puts it in his word. You will find that trouble will be present in your life. It might be sickness is present, challenging Brother Pele. But God is saying, trouble is present, but I'm very present. You might find trouble in whatever aspect of your life, and trouble will be present with you inside of your life. But the Lord is saying, I'm even more present than the trouble is present. I'm a very present help in a time of trouble. And every believer can testify of that. That when the real storms of life come, when the unexpected situations come down, and you set your face to seek the Lord, you find out that he's always a friend in need. He's always an ever-present help in the time of trouble. So David says that in verse 1. He says, if God is an ever-present help, God is our refuge and our strength in a time of trouble. In verse 2, he says, therefore will we not fear. He says, that's why we don't fear. Yeah, I know that these kind of times people get fearful and people start thinking about what happens if this war spills over. Where are these things leading to? Friends, God is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. God is our fortress. He's our refuge. The name of the Lord is a mighty tower. The righteous run therein and are safe. You know, we are just as safe in the midst of trouble as we are in the midst of peace if we are dwelling in that secret place. If we are seeking the Lord as our refuge, he's a refuge to every generation, the Bible says. He's been a refuge and a stronghold to his people through all the ages that have gone by. And that's why David says, therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed. Now think of these tumults that David is speaking about. Think of these times of change that David is speaking about. He says, we will not fear, though the earth be removed. I mean, that's when you'll think something so immovable as the earth, something so sure, something so steadfast, something you can trust in that it's been there 1,000 years ago, it's going to be there in 10,000 years. David says, even if the earth is removed, we will not fear. Why? Because God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. Now, so David is really choosing examples here that if you look at your circumstances are nothing compared to what David is saying. David is saying, and though the mountains be carried into the middle of the sea, you know, we look at the mountains, they seem so solid, they're made out of rock. Now you look at Everest, you look at the Himalayas, you look at these kind of mountains. They've been there, they say, since the beginning of, you know, when the foundation of the earth. They seem so sure, such a strong foundation. And David says, though the mountains be carried and thrown into the sea. Imagine the trouble that's going on in that. He says, we will not fear. He says, if God is your refuge, if God is your fortress, if God is your strength, you will not fear because God is our refuge and our strength. And friends, as we've said before, whenever trouble comes, whenever crisis comes, whenever danger comes, every creature always seeks for its refuge. And that's how you can tell who you are as a believer. When trials come, when uncertainty comes, when a bad diagnosis comes from the doctor, when a bad report comes in your job or whatever that it is, where do you seek? Do you seek for this refuge? Because this is David's refuge. David was a man after God's own heart, and he knew God is my refuge and my strength. He had been hiding in the caves. He'd been sleeping in the forest. He had been in danger of his life. He had so much uncertainty for tomorrow. But he said, God is my refuge and my strength. Therefore, we will not fear. That's a powerful thing, friends. There's a refuge that you can find within the storm. There's a refuge that which is the name of the Lord, which is the presence of God, which is the revelation of who he is, which God revealing himself to you in a real and a personal way. When everything else that seems sure and steadfast starts falling apart, you're going to find there's one thing that is unchangeable in this life, and that is God is your refuge and your strength. And he'll be that refuge and your strength. It doesn't matter the circumstances. Though the mountains be carried into the middle of the sea. So the earth being moved, the mountains being cast into the sea. You can type this to anything that you want. What about the collapse of nations? What about war when it suddenly comes upon a nation like has happened just this week in our modern day? You'll find that though the mountains are cast into the midst of the sea, though there's a tumult and noise and confusion, and there's fear all around, but in the soul of a believer, there's the potential, the capacity inside of you that if you set your face to the Lord, you will find out that he's a refuge and he's your strength and you will not fear, though all of these things are taking place around and about you. Imagine if the mountains are cast into the sea. Imagine the noise. Imagine the waves, the confusion, the billows and the wind and the tsunamis that take place. All of those circumstances seem so fearful. But David says, if God is your refuge and your strength, you will not fear, even if these things take place. Oh, friends, I think it's a very good thing as we look in the light of the changeableness of things in this world, how kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. I think it's a very good thing for each and every one of us upon this evening to make sure that we have anchored our souls in this refuge, that we've really taken our lives and committed in them truly laid them upon the altar, given them into the hands of the one, the only one that never changes. He's just as unchanging today as he was when Moses met him in the midst of his confusion in the burning bush. He's just as unchanging as when Israel was all fearful at the Red Sea and God was a refuge and a strength, an ever-present help in a time of trouble. He's just the same one tonight to you and I, if we will seek him, because God is our refuge and God is our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And friends, you will find the testimonies that will come out of Ukraine now will be the same testimonies that came out of Africa, same testimonies that came out of every situation where God allows believers to go through tumult and noise and strife and war and fearful situations. You'll find they'll come out with a testimony and they'll say, God is our refuge and God was our strength. He truly was a very present help in the time of trouble. Because God is unchanging in his ways and he's unchanging in his attitude towards his children. He's all that we need, no matter the circumstances that will come. You know, I was speaking just yesterday to Brother Eugene in Ukraine, in Kiev. In fact, the few days back before the war even started, I said, Brother, looks like things are building up. Now, Brother Eugene and the saints there, they were in Donetsk. They were there when Brother Max's son Gideon was in Luhansk. And there was the invasion and the Russians came and everything changed overnight. And Brother Eugene, when I said to him, Brother, do you think these Russians are going to invade? He said, well, brother, he said, the Lord kept us through one war. He'll keep us through another one. And I said, that's a wonderful thing. The testimony that comes out when God has already taken you through one, that really leads you to a situation that you say, yes, this one may seem far more fearful. This one, the mountains really being tossed into the sea. This one, the earth is really being shaken now in that region. But you'll find in the midst of the storm, in the midst of it all, God is still a very present help to each and every one of his children in a time of trouble. And those are the times that he proves himself faithful to his people. And you'll find that is the principle of the word from the beginning to the end. You can take this great commotion that David is speaking about. You can apply it to if things go wrong in your family. Things go wrong in your health. Things go wrong in your circumstances. Now, unexpected things come. The storm descends. Like Job, all of a sudden, when everything goes wrong, all of a sudden, what did Job find out? I know my Redeemer liveth. Through all of those circumstances, the conclusion, the revelation that came to him, which never came to him in the time of his prosperity, but came to him in the time of his trouble, was, I know that my Redeemer liveth. The prophet says, what do you know, Job? He says, I know. What do you know? I know that my Redeemer liveth. He knew there was a Redeemer, but now he knew he's my Redeemer. He found out that God was a very present help in a time of trouble. The worst the devil could do, the confusion, the noise, the tumult that was all around him. But Job, he found out that God was a refuge and a strength. A very present help in a time of trouble. And saints, I really do believe when you see these birth pains in the earth getting closer and closer together, I really, really do believe it's good for us to check up and ask yourself, who is my refuge? Do I really know him as my refuge and my strength? If everything collapsed in my life tomorrow, do I know him? Would I be able to just enter into that place? When David says, therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the sea, he says, we will not fear. That's a powerful thing, friends. That's not flesh and blood. That's something beyond flesh and blood. That's something that God has to put into the heart of a man or a woman or a boy and a girl, something beyond reasoning, something beyond human understanding. That's an anchor to the soul, an anchor that holds in the time of need. And friends, every single one of the children of God across there, we'll look at them and say, wow, it's so sad to see what's going on. But God has them under his control. He has them under his wing. He's a refuge. He's a fortress. He's a strong tower to each and every one of them. This evening, even as we read the scripture that David wrote so long ago, he's an ever-present help in a time of trouble. So it doesn't matter what comes to test your faith and your circumstances, you'll find that he never changes. And that is the most powerful thing with the Lord. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In verse 3, David says, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. My waters type multitudes of people, the nations. Though the waters, you find the waters, the nations of trouble, the nations are shaking. And we know that the Bible says, Haggai, I'll shake all nations, the Lord says. We know the prophet says in the church's book, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. So that which cannot be shaken, that kingdom that cannot be shaken will remain. And he says, brother, sister, he's going to shake this sin-cursed world. And we see another birth pain, another shaking as we speak now. We see war erupting at a time we never expected a war, right in the midst of Europe. Oh, friends, it's something which you never expected 2 weeks ago to be speaking about Russia now at war with Ukraine and people fleeing from a war. We read it in the Bible in Matthew 24 when Jesus said, pray that your flight be not on the Sabbath. You know, that it not be in the winter. And now we find people trying to get out of cities and get in buses and trains and trying to flee now to the West to get out of the way of war and trying to find a refuge where just last week they were safe and secure in their jobs and safe and secure in their homes and maybe making plans for holidays in the summer, whatever that it was. Friends, that's what life does. Life is uncertain. Time is filled with swift transition. Naught on earth unmoved can stand. That's how we need to hold to God's unchanging hand. I think it's a good thing for us at a time like this to draw near to him, to speak to the Lord and say, Lord, search my soul, search my life. I don't want an intellectual faith in a time like this, but I really, really want that something that'll stand the test of time, that time-tested faith, that's something which you alone can put in the soul of a person. Lord, reveal yourself to me now. Make yourself real. Make yourself known. Let me walk with you now. So when the storm comes down, when the boat is tossed in the midst of the storm, I know that Jesus is in the boat. I'll not fear because I know that thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Oh, friends, that's what you want. Though he says, though the waters thereof, verse 3, roar and be troubled. Friends, when everything's tossed and there's fury and there's the winds are blowing upon the nations, the strife and the war is blowing. And friends, you want to make sure that you've built your house on a rock. You don't want to be building on the sand. And then the wind and the waves and the trouble strikes and this your house isn't a refuge because it's not built on the right foundation. You want to make sure that you're building on that one foundation that no other man can lay, which already has been laid, Paul says, which is Christ Jesus, to seek the Lord and say, Lord, I want to know you now so that my today walking with you will prepare me for whatever that you've planned for my life, no matter how unexpected it's going to be tomorrow. But I know my walking with you today will prepare me for that. And God will make you what you're supposed to be, and something will rise up inside of you the way it did with David in the midst of the circumstances that he went through. So he says, though the waters roar, he says, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Now the waters are roaring, the waves are bashing the mountains are shaking. That's a fearful situation unless you're hidden in a refuge, unless you find yourself in a strong tower, a place that you can sit back. The prophet preaches letting off the pressure. That when there were the screams in the street in Egypt and the angels, great dark wings of the death angels descending down from heaven, the judgments of God were in the earth. And that young boy went to his dad and he says, Dad, I'm the firstborn. And he heard somebody screaming down the street and somebody's firstborn died and screams coming from the land all throughout the land of Egypt. And that young boy comes to his dad and he says, Dad, I'm your firstborn. Are you sure that we're safe? And he said, son, come and look. And he took him to the door and he says, you see, there's blood on the door. There's the token on the door. There's the blood has been applied. And according to thus saith the Lord, that's all we need to stand this test. So son, sit down, let off the pressure. The death angel will pass because the blood is on the door. Friends, I think it's a good time to look at these kind of things now. There's saints that have been struck with sickness. Tonight, we want to continue to pray for Brother Shelton's sister. You know, with the breast cancer, she's had a biopsy. Brother Shelton told me this evening she's getting the results next week. That was an unexpected storm that came inside of her life. Her husband passed away a couple of years back. She's got three young children. And now his future's uncertain, friends. We want to pray that the mighty one will take her into that great fortress, that she will not fear, but that she'll look to the Lord in the midst of the storm, and that he will deliver her from the storm. Our brother Pele, a few months back, he never expected that they would find something in his brain and has to have two operations. And now, you know, he has to go through rehabilitation after his operations. He needs care in these weeks to come, people to look after him. He never expected that, friends. But God is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. And he's looked to the Lord, and the Lord has brought him through. And we want to continue to look to the Lord on behalf of Brother Pele to safely take him through, to restore his strength and to restore his health. Oh, friends, these circumstances, they come up. And we want to make sure that in such kind of times, we've known him as our fortress and our refuge. The other request that we have, let's pray for the saints that are traveling, Brother George, Brother Vlad. I know everybody's traveling from that side of the world now. They're worried about flying. They're worried about the flights. You know, you see all these things taking place. Russia's now banned all flights from Britain, and Britain's banned all flights from Russia. And Ukraine, all the flights have been stopped in that area. You know, so we want to pray for Brother Vlad, for Brother George traveling back this weekend from Serbia and from Lithuania. Let's keep them in prayer. And we want to pray for our sister Esther. Sister Esther gave a thanksgiving hymn. I'll just get it up on my phone. She said, sorry, 1 second. Sister Esther was thanking the Lord first of all for, okay, sorry, there's quite a few have come through here. She said, I give thanks to the Lord God Almighty for passing my driving test today. Looking at how nervous and the number of mistakes I made during driving, I would have failed. The drive tester said that he wanted to give me grade 3 on one of my mistakes I made, but he just gave me a grade 2. And he said, go and improve on that. I know it was God who changed his mind and helped me to pass the test. Praise be to God. That's Sister Esther. It happened to me when I got my license as well. God is faithful, friends. He'll really help you in those things. But she's asking for prayer because she's looking for accommodation. So we want to pray for our sister as well, that the Lord will really help her to find accommodation. Just checking to see if there's any other requests. Okay, I know somebody went to church. Sorry, somebody went to church there. Brother Faithful, God bless you for being faithful at the post of duty. Unfortunately, we couldn't make it to church this evening, but God is faithful, friends. And we want to just come before him and bring these petitions before the Lord. Let's pray also for Gitana, and Sister Vida lost her brother today, which is Gitana's uncle. He died of COVID. He was admitted last night and he passed away this morning. He was 73 in Lithuania. So we're really, really sorry to hear that. It's a sad thing, but we want to give thanks for our family, how the Lord took us all through the COVID. This last couple of weeks, everyone had it. The Lord's taken us safely through. We're still testing positive. Unfortunately, we have to wait a few more days, but really do appreciate the prayers of the saints, the goodness of the Lord that he's taken us safely through these things. So let me just read one more scripture to bring us to our time of prayer, to bring these petitions. Let's pray for our youth meeting with Brother Cheslin, 6 p.m. on Sunday evening. Let's pray that the Lord will really bless that meeting as well. And let's keep praying. This Bible study we did on Wednesday, I was so surprised to see the response that came from it, speaking about Watch Russia. We never had such a response from a Bible study. It was about 5 times more people watched it than had ever been watched before. I was really surprised. You can tell that people at these kind of times, they're seeking for answers, friends. They're seeking for something at a time like this. And may the Lord help us to point them in the right direction through the word to find the Lord as an ever-present help in a time of trouble. Let's read Psalm 91. Just a couple of verses from there and we come to a time of prayer. Let's pray for Sunday service. We have a visiting minister on Sunday. I think it was the providence of God. It was the grace of God. There's a brother, I've mentioned him before to many of the saints, Brother Thomas. He's from South Africa. He moved to Northern Ireland a few years back. He's a minister. So he's in the health service. I sent him across to Brother Billy's church. He preaches for Brother Billy. He contacted me yesterday saying, Brother, Can I come to your service on Sunday if you're near to the airport? I think he's flying out, or his family's flying out on Sunday. So I said, please come, brother. And I said, please, if you could take the service, it will be a blessing to the saints as well. So Brother Thomas, he's from South Africa. We'll send the details tomorrow, but he'll be taking the service on Sunday. So let's really pray for the Lord's blessing. Pray for the Lord to bless Brother Max on the Sunday school, on the divine nature. That's what we need at a time like this, something that'll stand the test of time. Psalm 91. Look how it comes on, friends. This is exactly what we see in this world. You go out of one trouble, like the prophet says, we come out of one thing and we go straight into another. And we'll see that here in Psalm 91. Let's read just verse 2. Here, David, so this is Moses saying, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. That's a wonderful thing to have, a personal testimony like that. Now, to have a personal faith. Moses wasn't relying on the faith of his mother or his father anymore. He used to when he was young, but now he had met the Lord. And now he was resting in the Lord. He says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid. The same as David, I will not fear. For the terror by night. Imagine the saints there tonight in Kiev and those places, and they're in their basements, and there's missiles and rockets and, you know, explosions taking place all around. Oh, if the Lord can take you to a place spiritually that you'll not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. You know, the warfare, the arrow that flies by day. Nor for the pestilence, verse 6, that walks in darkness. So we've just come out of the pestilence. We've just been delivered by the grace of God from the COVID. The world's just coming out of the pestilence. And now you find here comes the terror by night and the arrow by day. It's an amazing thing. This life, here we have no continuing city. Time is filled with swift transition. Friends, this life is so changeable. Just as much as day turns into night and night into day, you never know what's laying ahead of you. That's in the hands of the Lord. He says, verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Our friends, that's what you're praying for the saints in Donetsk and those places, and in Kiev and Ukraine. People are perishing and missiles are flying. But God has his eye upon his people. And whatever circumstances you and I find ourselves in, friends, it might be the pestilence that has struck our brother Pele, the pestilence that has struck our sister Siti, brother Shelton's sister. It might be war, strife in your home, strife in your job, strife wheresoever it would be. You know, whatever the circumstances, you will find the same as Moses is testifying here, is the same as David testified in Psalm 46. He is my refuge and my strength. My God, in him will I trust. May the Lord help us to do that for saints. Let's come to a time of prayer. Let's put ourselves before the Lord. Just put yourself before the Lord and say, Lord, if I was in a place like that now and everything was falling apart, do I know you well enough? Do I know the way to the mercy seat? Would I be able to lay a hold of you in a real way to give me peace and to give me, you know, to drive away the fear and to give me that assuredness that I can, excuse me, let off the pressure in such troubles and times? If not, saints, now's the time to seek him and find him. And friends, now for our brother Pele, for our sister Sitsi with the breast cancer, for our sister Esther looking for accommodation, for our brother Thomas preaching for us on Sunday, for the youth meeting on Sunday evening, for whatever other petitions and desires, for our brother Vlad and brother George traveling, I say, let's come before the Lord and put these things before the Lord. And then we'll just take another scripture and come to our final prayer. Let's all pray. Saints, if Brother Will, if you could put the music. Thank you so much, bro. Thank you. Amen. Saints, God bless you. It's good to have a season of prayer to bring these petitions before the Lord. May the Lord really bless our Sunday. May he bless our Sunday school. Thank you so much to them that are doing the Sunday school for the young ones. You know, we really do ask you, saints, to support them. They're doing a wonderful work. May the Lord bless and speak to the young ones, the adult Sunday school, the song worship. We really pray for those things. We pray for the service. May the Lord bless us on Sunday. And then coming on to the youth meeting, may the Lord have his way and may he be glorified in his word and may his presence, his anointing, visit each and every one of the things that are done in his name on Sunday. Let's keep that in prayer. Let's come, before we come to praying now, let's come to special prayer before we close on behalf of those saints across in Ukraine. You know, I have many precious friends there on both sides of the border, and I've been in touch with Brother Barry Coffey the last couple of days. We've been trying to get some help across to the saints, their financial help and so forth. Been speaking to some of the saints there, and it's just not an easy situation. You know, anybody who's been through a war, we grew up in a civil war. I know saints from Congo have been involved in civil wars and that, you know, just what an upheaval that it is and how things can change. That there's so much uncertainty and so much fear in the air. And the saints in Kiev that wanted to try to get out of the city, maybe head west, go to Poland, go to somewhere there. But all the exits were blocked. So now they're just in their apartments and there's a curfew in the evening. They have to go down in the basement. Now, if you've been watching the news, seen the Russian tanks are getting closer and closer to the city. You know, I mean, it's not a nice situation to be in. You know, the shops are closed. Maybe power will be off. It's not an easy situation to be in. Now, there's not too much we can do. But what we can do is a very powerful thing. We can pray for those saints there. We can really, really pray for them. Then on the very east of Ukraine, in Donetsk, that area, Luhansk, which has been occupied by the Russians for some time, there's a precious saints there, Brother Vladimir Ryabov and the saints who've been there twice before. They had a wonderful big church. The war came. Now, most of the saints had to flee. They've just been through a really difficult time with the bombing and the shelling this week. No water. And now what's happening is the Russians occupying there, if they find any young man on the street, they take him and then conscript him into the army. And two young believers have been taken and put into the Russian army. And Brother Ryabov was writing to the leader of the army there saying, please, we're Christians, we don't believe in fighting. So it's okay. These young men can come and do something else. So all the rest of the young believers, the rest of the believers that are there are staying in their homes. It's not safe to go out on the street because you get conscripted. And even the saints that are in Ukraine, the other side, like Brother Eugene and the saints, you saw they're not allowing anybody to leave between 16 and I think 55 years of age. And it was 60 years of age because they want them to join the army. You know, so it's not an easy situation. You know, they're wanting everybody to defend the capital city against the tanks and the missiles and the jets and the helicopters and all that kind of stuff. So it's naturally speaking, it's a fearful situation. Naturally speaking, it's a very difficult thing for believers to be in. But let's read from Psalm 105. This is David when he was bringing the Ark of the Lord up to Jerusalem. And he took the opportunity on that day, like a dedication day, to remember all the wonderful works of the Lord. Yeah, and he starts speaking about the Lord. And he says, in verse 1, he says, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. And he wanted to make known the Lord's works among the people. And then he speaks about different things. And he says, verse 6, oh, you seed of Abraham, verse 5, remember his marvelous works that he hath done. And I think, friends, if you look back inside of your life, no matter what circumstance you're in, you can remember. We're so prone to forget that the Bible has to instruct us to remember. Go back. Like they say, the greatest use of your memory is to remember the works of the Lord, the things that he's done inside of your life. And when you start looking back and you start remembering what the Lord has done, you'll find that the faith will rise up inside of you because he never changes. If he did it before, he'll do it again. And David is saying, remember the works of the Lord. But David now is going to get in on Psalm 105 And he's going to say, look, we're a great nation now. We're going to build a temple. We've got a big capital city, Jerusalem. We've got a big army. We've defeated our enemies. He says, but let's remember the works of the Lord. Let's remember it wasn't always like this. He says, let's look back in our sacred history and see the faithfulness of the Lord to us. And then David now, he says, verse 7, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Now, so David is saying, look, the reason we are nation today, the reason we're standing today is not because of our military might, not because of our strength, but the reason we're standing today still as a nation is because of the power of the covenant that God has made with us. Friends, God, there's such a power in God's covenant. When God and you get into a covenant relationship, when he gets into a covenant relationship by giving your life to Christ, by coming under the blood, by committing yourself to him, entering into this great new covenant. David, under the old covenant, he knew the reason we're still a nation, despite all the wars we've been through, despite all the things, despite all the evil the enemies plotted against us, is not because of our wisdom, not because of our might, not because you move from one place to another at the right time, but the power was in the covenant. We are the covenant people of God. And friends, when I think of those saints that are crossing those troubled places now, they are under the divine covenant. They are people of the covenant. And God is absolutely faithful to his covenant. Now, if you get into covenant with God, the prophet says God will, what does he say? He'll remove heaven. Jesus said it. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. For God not to be faithful to his people, the heaven and earth has to pass away first. So God's eye is upon those people. God's covenant, they're the covenant people of God, just like David was speaking of here. He says, remember what the Lord has done to his covenant people. And then he starts speaking about the different things which the Lord did. Firstly, to Abraham. He says in verse 9, he made a covenant with Abraham. Now think of how God's covenant is immutable, it's sure, doesn't change. Even when Abraham was faithless, when the drought came and the circumstances changed and he made the wrong decision, now the circumstances pushed him to run away from the problems and he went down to Egypt, he lost the blessings, the prophet says, but he never lost the covenant. Because when God makes a covenant with his people, it's an immutable covenant. He swore by himself, Hebrews, Paul says, by two immutable things, God's word and swearing by himself, because there was no one greater for him to swear by, to say, I swear, we shouldn't swear, but people in the courts will say, I swear on the Bible, I swear in the name of the Lord, whatever. But God has no one greater that he can swear by, so he swore by himself. And he swore by himself that he would never forsake those that are in covenant with him. And friends, that is what gives me great comfort. That even when people in war zones, when even people in crises, like David caught the revelation of Moses in Psalm 91, 1,000 will fall on this side, 10,000 this, but it doesn't come near the covenant child of God because he's safe in the fold of the great shepherd. And any trouble that comes has to come with the permission of the great shepherd. So even though there's arrows flying by day and there's terror at night, but David says it won't come near you. And that is our great consolation, friends, that unless it's somebody's time to go and God desires to use the arrow by day as the way to take one of his children home, it doesn't matter how many bullets fly, it doesn't matter how many rockets land, it doesn't matter, you know, what passes through in places like that, God will be faithful. He is always faithful to his covenant, to watch over his covenant people. And David was testifying of that. He says, look, you seed of Abraham. He says, look back at our fathers. Look how God led them. He says, even Abraham, when he went down into Egypt and he lied and all that, God was still faithful to protect him. God came and told Pharaoh, you leave this man alone. He's a prophet. Let him pray for you. Otherwise, yeah, the Lord had an issue with Pharaoh. And David starts looking back at how God was so faithful in his covenant with the fathers. And he speaks of him and he says, which covenant he made with Abraham, verse 9, and his oath unto Isaac, And he confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Well, friends, that's why we see now, it doesn't matter what Gog and Magog try to do against Russia, against Israel. Doesn't matter what the Palestinians try to do. Doesn't matter what Hamas tried to do. Doesn't matter what ISIS said. Israel's still standing. Why? Because they're the covenant people of God. They're under a divine covenant, and God is their refuge. God is their strength. God has bound himself by oath to be responsible for these people, for his people, the children of the covenant. And David says, look at them. Look at Jacob. Think of Jacob. No, Jacob, it was, think of how faithful God was to the covenant with Jacob. Could anybody have tasted so much God's faithfulness? When the nations were visited with famine and everyone was distressed, and sudden change came after the 7 years of plenty. And here came 7 years of famine. Time is filled with swift transition. God had his eye on his covenant people. He had already sent a man before them, even Joseph. And God stored up the great granaries of Egypt and laid aside Goshen, the fatness of the land, as a provision for his covenant people in the time of trouble. Oh, friends, think about that. That's the same one. Now, we're not under that covenant. We're under a better covenant. We're under the new covenant. Oh, friends, the New Testament, sealed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So, friends, that really gives me confidence that as we pray the Lord's blessing upon his people in those places, God is bound by covenant. He says the angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear. He says he shall give his angels charge over you to bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And you'll find each of those people will come out. Even Brother Gideon, remember when he was stuck in Luhansk there, and you know, he couldn't get himself out, in the great testimony that he came out with when he came from there. Oh, friends, God is so faithful to his covenant people. And if you think of him being faithful to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, friends, it doesn't matter what tomorrow holds for you. He's going to be faithful to you. He's going to be there. Even though the mountains be removed and things get cast into the sea, and there's great noise and confusion all around you, but he's got you in the palm of his hands. He says, I can never forget you. Your names are engraved in the palm of my hands. Friends, it's a wonderful thing to think about. It does. If Russia even continued going and invaded the whole of Europe, not one hair on your head is going to be touched unless the Lord permits it to be touched. And all that's going to take place is there's going to come testimony out of the situations and circumstances that you've been through. Because you look at what happened to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, and to Joseph, how faithful God was to them. What about to Daniel and the Hebrew children? Imagine they were living in their land, and here came the superpower. Here came Nebuchadnezzar. Here came the Babylonians, the evil superpower of the day, just as much as Russia now is an evil superpower invading Ukraine as we speak. Here came the superpower against the children of God. Did it affect Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? It must have been scary when there were screams in the streets, and you know, the invasion came, and here was Daniel taken captive, and the Hebrew children, but not one hair on their head, perished. He said, look at them, they'd be promoted to greater honor in the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. It was a great lesson to think about, you know, to see how God is so faithful in the midst of it all to them that are his covenant people, to his sons and his daughters. He'll always watch over his people, no matter how extreme the circumstances and the situations will seem. Just think of Jacob dwelling at peace in Goshen when the nations are in distress, when there's famine in the land. Friends, look at us spiritually. God stored up spiritual food in due season. He's filled up the garners of Egypt, spiritually speaking, for us. He sent someone before us to store up the food so that when the nations are perishing in famine, spiritually speaking, you and I, friends, we're sitting in spiritual Goshen. What a blessing. And if he did that for you spiritually, and he was faithful to you in days and times gone by, when storing up food to you, when yet you were not even born. Imagine, most of us weren't even born when the prophet was commissioned to store up the food. If God looks through the eyes of his covenant as you, as his son and daughter, in that kind of a way, spiritually, you think he won't take care of you in everything else? Oh, friends, he's bound himself to us by an oath by a covenant. What a wonderful thing. So David is saying, we, the seed of Abraham, we need to remember these things. Verse 8, he hath remembered his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Oh, friends, that's what God is saying. He said, look, my word, if I spoke my word, it doesn't matter how many generations have passed. Friends, how many generations since this was written? I don't know, maybe 100 generations. Who knows? 4,000 years or whatever that it is. The Lord commanded this covenant, this word will be true for 1,000 generations. It doesn't matter what happens today. It doesn't matter what happens tomorrow. God is going to be just as faithful to you tomorrow as he was yesterday, as he was today, as he was to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because we are his children. He's going to be faithful to his children in times of war. He's going to be faithful to his children in times of peace. He's going to be faithful to his people in times of famine. He's going to be faithful to his people in times of plenty, just as he was in the scripture, because he cannot change. And he's bound himself with an oath. And friend, that gives me comfort. That gives me confidence. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. We don't have to worry about what if this happens and what. No, no, no. You leave that in his hands. Sufficient for today are the evils thereof, Jesus. You don't worry about tomorrow. Take no thought for tomorrow. All will be well. He's commanded this to 1,000 generations. What a great thing that is. And Israel today is a living proof. After all of the wars they've been through, every one of the wars simply made them stronger as a nation in the last 100 years. And every one of the wars, they simply possessed more of their original inheritance. That's all that the wars did for them. There were fearful times in the war, but he who watches Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep, the Bible says. He watches over his people. If he watches over his natural seed, how about you and I, his spiritual seed? How much more is he watching over his people in the midst of war tonight, even as we speak about it? Let's finish off with verse 12. He says, when he promises Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he says, while they were but a few men in number, very few and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people. You know, you think of it, Israel. Think of Jacob. He was just a small group, and he was surrounded by hostile nations. You think of Abraham, just a few young men that he had at that time, and he's surrounded by all of these hostile tribes that don't fear God, bloodthirsty tribes. Think of Isaac. Think of Jacob. Think of him just with his 12 sons and so forth, living in tents, living in tabernacles. They never had one fortress, never had one rampart. They never had one wall of defense. They weren't trusting in that. They just were dwelling in their tents. And you go and read the Bible, all the life of Abraham, all the life of Jacob, all the life of Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, not one of them got hurt by the people around and about. Not a scratch, not a scar on Abraham, not a scratch on Isaac or Jacob from all of the devil-possessed heathen around them. Why? Was that their own power, their own might? No, they didn't have power and might. It was the power of the covenant that God had established between himself and them. Oh, friends, imagine the power of the covenant that you and I stand under today. Nothing can touch you without him giving it permission. We see that in the book of Job. And the Hebrew children, when they're thrown into the fiery furnace, all it did was burn off their bonds. All it did was set them free from the bands which they'd been tied with. And now they had the revelation of the third pool. They had the revelation of the fourth man with them in the fire. Daniel being thrown in the lion's den. Oh, friends, the Lord sent his angel down in there. And it became like Eden again. And the lions were tamed. The lion were laid down with the lamb in the millennium. There was a heavenly atmosphere in that place because of the power of the covenant. And friends, that's what we rest in. This great covenant that God has made with us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he shed his blood for us and he said, you are my people, you are my bride. And he said, fear not, 365 times in the Bible, because he knows we need to hear that being people of flesh and blood, governed by sense and sight and time, we need a fear not to speak to our souls that something rises up inside us. Says, nope, though he slay me, like Job said, yet will I trust him. And you'll find the testimony will always come forth that God is faithful in all of these things. So it doesn't matter. Abraham goes down to Egypt, the superpower of the day. Pharaoh, the Putin of his day. God comes. Look what it says. The final verse we'll read, verse 14 and 15. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed. And do my prophets no harm. Imagine the superpower. Pharaoh, God came and rebuked him because of Abraham. What about Abraham going up? And even Isaac did the same thing, going up into the land of the Philistines, to Ahimelech, the great king of the mighty nation of the Philistines. That was nothing to the Lord. Here was his son. Here was his son, Abraham. And something was about to happen to Abraham's wife. And the covenant kicked in and God rebuked kings for their sakes. Just people of flesh and blood like you and I, but covenant people of God. And that gives us comfort, that gives us assurance that every single one of the covenant children of God, every single member of the bride of Christ in Ukraine tonight is safe. No matter where, they might be in a bomb shelter tonight, they might be in a basement, they are as safe tonight as you and I laying in our beds. Because they're safe in the hands of the God of the covenant. And he's sworn that I will even reprove kings for your sakes. I'll suffer no man to do you harm. 1,000 will fall on this side, 10,000 on the other side, but it won't come near you. Friends, you just think of what the Lord has done for you. Like David says, remember the great works that he's done for you. Have a look back inside of your life. You know, when things went wrong in your country and the economy collapsed or there was war and you thought, oh, the world was falling apart, you found it all worked out for the good. It was simply God moving you to the place that he was supposed to be. Now, if I knew in a job and everything goes wrong and a Pharaoh rises up that knows not Joseph and gives you a hard time and, oh, you leave that company and you move to the place that God blesses you because he moves you to the place that he wants you to be. There's nothing that can happen to a believer without being for their good. Because everything that comes to us has to pass through the great shepherd. Everything that comes to us has to pass through the hands of the one who made a covenant together with us. And friends, when I hear of all these things, that's what gives me the faith and the confidence that it doesn't matter what King Putin does. God can reprove kings for the sake just of his children. You know, he'll watch over his children. It doesn't matter if Babylon is coming and taking all the children captive and slaying 1,000 on this side and 10,000, but it never came near to Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego. That simply moved them to the place that God wanted to use them in their dispensation. So saints, as we look to these things, everything is under control. And we'll see the testimonies coming forth, as they always do, of the goodness and the faithfulness of God. The Bible says, even when we are faithless, he is faithful. Even when Abraham almost lost his faith and went to Egypt, God was still faithful. And when you feel fearful and think everything is going wrong, he's still going to be there. Even if it's got to be one set of footprints in the sand, and you're saying, but Lord, I thought you said you'd be with me through the rough parts of life. And he says, I was with you there. My child, that's where I carried you, because you couldn't walk that part yourself. So friends, we put our faith and our trust in all the Lord is doing. For our brother Pele, we look to the Lord. He's a child of God. We just say, Lord, bring him forth. Let your son come forth. Let him free so he may worship you once again. For our brother Shelton's sister, we pray for her, believing that God is in the midst of the storm. And may he bring forth a testimony for his glory. For the saints in Ukraine, the same thing. But saints, we'd like just to finish off this evening. Let's come and put these saints before the Lord. Let's pray for them. You know, they really do need prayer. They need the grace of God. They need his strength. They need his comfort. They need his reassurance. Let's really pray the Lord to draw near to the saints there, to guide them to the right place, to give them wisdom in the decisions that they make. But friends, I really do believe that God, who has always been faithful, the same one that was faithful to you all the days of your life up to now, is the same one who's going to continue to be faithful, and he's going to be faithful together with them. So let's put the music on just for a short time. Let's come and put these saints before the Lord. I think it would be a noble thing. And then we'll ask Brother Max maybe after that if he can finish for us in a word of prayer. Let's have a time of prayer. sense. Let's ask Brother Max to bring everything before the Lord. Let's just agree together with him as he'd pray. And God bless you richly, saints. We'll then just ask Brother Jess after that to lead us in a song or two. And may the Lord bless the rest of your evening, saints. Until we meet, may God be with you. Amen, Brother Max, if you could pray. Thanks.
Let us pray. Oh, ever-present God, in times of trouble, our mighty God, the mighty tower, our refuge and our strength. Oh, we thank you. We worship you, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the inspiration, for the assurance, oh, for the confidence, for the comfort, the Lord, we have received from your word tonight. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Covenant people, oh, how we can also speak the same word that David spoke. That though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you that, Lord, even though the enemy can come in like a flood, as even it is happening right now in Ukraine. But Lord, one thing we know, that your spirit will always raise a standard and cover your people, oh God. Oh, Father, tonight we are looking at our brethren in Ukraine. And that, Lord, we know that you know where they are individually. And Father, we believe in the name of Jesus Christ that already, Lord, your blood has been applied upon wherever they are, oh Lord Jesus. Until these pass over, oh God, they will be in your safekeeping. In the secret of your tabernacle, Lord, you will keep them, O God. Father, we commit them into your hands. Lord, we remember our precious brother Shelton, also sister, with the breast cancer, Lord. Oh, Lord, look at the children, how they need all their mother's care, O Lord Jesus. Father, it's only you that can stretch forth your hands, your healing hands, and touch, oh, someone. And no matter the infirmities, oh, Lord Jesus, there is nothing that can stand it, oh, Lord. We commit her, Lord, into your hands, Lord. And Father, our precious brother Pele, he's gone through operations, Lord. And Father, we know that Lord Jesus is something that, oh God, it has to take only your hands. As Lord, even we thank you that, Lord, you were able to navigate the hands of these doctors, oh God, to keep our brother even alive today, Lord. Father, you that have started, you began all these things, Lord. In the healing way, oh Lord Jesus, we commit you into your hands, Lord. That Father, you finish, oh Lord Jesus, the process of God that is remaining, Lord Jesus. That Father, we will see our brother back again. Oh, standing, oh Lord Jesus, in your presence, oh God, to give testimony to the glory of your name. Lord, we know that that day is coming, oh Lord. Father, we commit him into your hands, Lord Jesus. Father, we are praying also, remembering our precious brothers, Vlad and George, as they will be coming back, oh God, we commit their flight back, Lord, into your hands, knowing what is happening around that area, oh God. Father, we pray that, Lord Jesus, you will lift them up, oh Lord, above every storm, on the wings of the eagle, oh God, and bring them safely back. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. There are testimonies that are coming to raise, oh, to esteem your name, oh Lord. Oh, Father, we want to commit, Lord Jesus, our meetings that are coming, Lord, into your hands. Commit, Lord Jesus, our Sunday meeting, Lord, into your hands. Committing our precious brother Thomas, Lord, into your hands. The Lord Jesus, you will use him mightily, O God. Oh, knowing the needs of your people, O God. Father, through your word, Lord, touch the needs of your people. As Lord Jesus, you have promised that, O God, you will always provide our needs, O God. Lord, we commit into your hands. We commit, Lord, our Sunday school also into your hands. We commit the youth meetings, Lord, into your hands. Oh, Father, all we seek, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, Lord, to sweep over. Oh, it's only your word of God we want to hear, Lord Jesus. Let it take preeminence, Lord. In every meeting, the Lord Jesus, we are going to hold, Lord, you in the midst of your people. Oh, Lord, with great expectation, we know the Lord Jesus. All these meetings, Lord, will be a blessed one of God. Oh, Lord, we want to also commit to God all any brother, Lord, any home, the Lord Jesus has been struck with this virus, Lord. We commit everyone into your hands. And we will not forget, Lord, to give you thanks. To give you thanks, Lord. What you have done in the home of our pastor, Lord Jesus, we bless you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord Jesus. What you've done in the home of our precious brother, Sasha, Lord, we say thank you, Lord Jesus. And in every home also, Lord, as you are keeping each and everyone safe, Lord, we say thank you. We give glory to you. Oh, Lord, blessed be thy name. Your daughter, Esther, Lord Jesus, is thanking you that you have taken her through her driving test, Lord. Something that could not be possible, but yet, Lord, in you all things have been possible, Lord. Oh, we thank you, God, for what you've done for her. And now, Lord, she has a request, seeking the Lord Jesus for a place of accommodation, Lord. Father, we know there is a place you have already prepared for her. So, Lord, we commit her into your hands. And looking forward, the Lord, she will come back and say, thank you, God. You've given her a place, oh, which is even above her own thoughts, Lord. Father, we thank you. We bless you. Father, tonight, in our various homes, we know the who you are, the omnipresent God that covers every space, Lord. We commit every home, Lord, into your hands now. The Lord Jesus, even as we all return ourselves into our closets, Father, we take these words of confidence, these words of comfort, these words of assurance, these words of inspiration, all into our closets, and we'll meditate upon it, Lord God. And Father, keep everyone all through this night, Lord Jesus. And if tomorrow, Lord, will be another day that will be for your children, oh, Lord, let us rise with the rising of the sun. And we will continue, Lord, to glorify your name. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless your servant, oh, Lord, that have set himself aside of God, even in these difficult times, Lord. Oh, to bring your word, oh, Lord, to us. Bless him and his family, Lord. We thank you. We bless you. We give all glory to you. Even the needs that, Lord, we are not able to mention. You know everyone. Lord Jesus, we commit all into your hands. As we thank you, Lord, we ask once again, the Lord, you keep us through the night and let us see the beginning of another day. And we will continue to glorify and thank you. We bless you, Lord Jesus. Bless our precious brother Jesse, oh, who has stood in, oh God, oh, perfectly, Lord, leading us in songs. And Father, bless him, oh God. We thank you, give glory to you. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray with all thanksgiving. Amen.
Can we please have the anchor holds? I have journeyed through the long dark night, out on the open sea. Faith alone, and yet his eyes were watching me. The anchor holds, though the shepherd is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. righteous running.
God bless you, Pastor. God bless you, Princess.
Amen. Oh, Brahmaxo.